You want to read Wes Dyant? We're going to read some out of the book of 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Appreciate the song service. Appreciate you being here and the service tonight. First Corinthians, the 7th chapter, we're going to start with the 17th verse. And I'm probably going to read down to about the 24th verse, I believe. You pray for us. Appreciate the songs. Robert was talking about the song that he sung, that it meant about as much to him as the person that sung it. I'm glad it works that way sometimes, and it does. There's a song in the church hymnal. There's several. As far as that goes, it's not sung very much anymore, but there's this one particular song that if it ever gets led, it makes me think of one man. And that man, he's not around anymore. He died, I believe, about the time I started preaching. But he's an old preacher man, and he sung this particular song. He led it a fair bit, and I never hear it but what I don't see his face. And hear him sing that song. Now that might not be a blessing to you, but things like that are a blessing to me. They really are. I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to read you a few verses. I've got some of the strangest thoughts, and whether we'll go that way or not, I have no clue. I really don't. Sometimes the Lord will give you things, and He'll just give you a little bit of a certain thing, and when you get to reading it, it really don't match what you got. So I got one of them tonight. I'll explain that just a little more here in just a second, or a minute. Well, we're going to read, what did I say, 17th? Start with 17th, 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ. Christ is servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now, this is not a difficult scripture by any means. And sort of the thought that we've got tonight is running parallel with some other thoughts. But before I get started, this seventh chapter is not about what I'm going to preach. The seventh chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians is about a woman and a man touching a woman, and it talks about marriage. Not only that, and it talks about who has control of the woman. Now, I'll let that lay just like it is. You might not understand that. A lot of folks don't. A lot of folks gets it all out of kilter. They most certainly do. I'm not going to get into that. What I guess intrigues me about this scripture is we're in the midst of a father and his daughter, and or a woman and the husband to be. That's what is in this chapter. But what I read you has nothing to do with that subject. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, so it fits. I'm not going to cipher it for you. I'm not going to do that. The scripture says here, and this is what we have, so you'll just have to bear with us for just a few minutes. I don't know. I really don't. I'm so scattered. I'm just scattered. The 18th verse says, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. There was a situation with circumcision and uncircumcision in the days that Paul was preaching, and it was a real big factor to the Corinthians and in the Corinthian lifestyle. Let me just put it that way. They were some of them that had been called that had been circumcised. What does he mean, had been called? They had been called by God. Now, I'm going to try to explain some of this, so Lord help me. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. What the thoughts I've got don't seem like it fits the crowd. But crowd, you're going to get what I got. That's all I got, and that's all I can leave with you. But he said, if you're called and you have been circumcised, he says, do not become uncircumcised. Don't change what you are. Don't change who you are. Don't change where you've been called at. Now, you think about that. He went on down and he talked a little bit about a servant. There's a lot of folks that believe, my friend, in the lineage of their family, and that's how they get called. Well, that ain't calling. That's not calling. And he's not talking about... Let me finish with circumcision. I don't want to confuse the matter. I'll get into this other in just a minute. Lord help me. But listen, circumcision was a great big thing being... what's the word? Being practiced. Okay? Being practiced. Circumcision had been practiced to the point, my friend, that there's preaching that you had to be circumcised. Now, even some of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. And Paul, it became a big problem between Paul and some of his preaching and some of the other apostles and their preaching. The circumcision. My friend, they've got to be circumcised. Paul said, abide in the calling wherein you're called. He said, if you're circumcised, abide in it. If you're uncircumcised, he said, abide in it. That's what he's talking about. If you're called in that aspect, leave that aspect as it is. He said, don't change it. Don't become uncircumcised or don't become circumcised. You'll find a scripture over in one place, my friend, where he's talking about that Timothy was in the midst of them and he began, they was them that was preaching circumcision. And he said, neither was Timothy compelled to be circumcised. It was not in circumcision but of the flesh, but it's the circumcision of the heart, my friend. That's what he says here. He said, just obey what? The commandment of God. That's what's meaningful. And that's what you should do. Now, let me see if I can go on. He says, circumcision is nothing. He said, uncircumcision is nothing. Is that what he said? But the keeping of the commandments of God. Then he said, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Now they was them that was called in their servantship. And they didn't think much of it. Just to be honest with you. A lot of times, my friend, people get looked down upon because of their social status in this life. They most certainly do. It still goes on today. Yes, it does. Paul said, if you're called being a servant, he said, care not for it. In other words, don't let it bother you. Just go on and abide in your servantship. But thank God, keep the commandments of God. Now, there's a lot of people, my friend, thinks that the high and the mighty have no chance in this world. That's wrong. It's just as wrong as believing that pauper ain't got no chance. Yes, sir. He did say, how hardly is it that a rich man would enter into heaven? How hardly? But brethren, if a man will come with a broken heart, folks, it makes no difference what his social status is. whether he's high or whether he's low. It makes no difference. No, sir. Well, preacher, I want to build myself up to where I can be something for God. Brethren, worship and believe God in the state that you're in tonight. You know what will happen? You'll be just like this servant. If you'll continue to do it, then you'll be a free man. You won't have nothing binding you. These folks, my friend, that thinks they have to put on the fraud of being a Christian. Brethren, just let God save you. Thank God and abide in the place he calls you. See if it don't work better. See if it don't work a little better. You have people, there's differences in people, and it doesn't matter where you believe it or not, there is. There's people, my friend, that has the understanding of a lot of different things. Yes, they do. And brethren, then there's men and women alike that have no understanding at all. If God called them in that situation, thank God they're just as precious as you are. I know the preacher, y'all probably know some, Thurman Hightower, will tell you, would have told you, did tell many, he could not read. Could not. Robert, I know the preacher, and I don't know, I didn't think a whole lot of it, just to be honest with you, but the man couldn't read. If he preached, he'd call his wife up there to read the scripture. You know what he'd do? He'd tell her what to read. Tell me he couldn't read. Huh? Tell me God couldn't use a man like that. He did. Brethren, you don't have to know the whole Bible. Thank God to be a good servant tonight. No, you don't. The truth of it is, the real truth of it is, if you've ever heard that word spoke, and the Spirit of God ever gets a hold of it, my friend, he will bring it back to your remembrance. Yes, he will. I told you it's a strange message. I can't help it. It's going to get stranger. Yes, it is. Brethren, we need to abide in the calling wherein we are called. Whatever situation that is. I had a boss, my friend, for 30-something years. He couldn't spell the word cat. He couldn't. He couldn't spell, period. He had degrees. Matter of fact, I know how he got his degrees. But listen, that's neither here nor there. My friend, he done all that, and he could not spell his name. Did it hinder him? Did it hinder him? He couldn't write a letter. Randy, you got a minute? Yeah. Come to the office. Get down there, and he is trying to put some words together. He said, I just can't do it. I said, well, I can handle that. Tell me what you want to say. Listen, we ain't all the same. Brethren, we may not be all on the same level, But I'll guarantee you, God will bless you on the level you're on if you'll abide in it. The problem is us. The problem in this case is the recipient of what God wants to do through you. Forget what you can't do. Thank God, do all you can with all you might tonight. Is that not right? Paul said that he knew these things, first verse that I read you, the 17th verse, and he said, therefore he went and ordained these things in all churches. And he preached unto them. Bruce said, it make no difference whether you're circumcised nor uncircumcised. Believe with the heart. That not what he told them? Pretty much. I'm going to say this, and you may think I've lost my marbles. My friend, I realize 100%, my friend, that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Yes, it is. That book will teach you so. But it also teaches you about some natural operation of the house of God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Preacher, I ain't gonna have it. You're wrong. Hear me. Preacher, you can't tell me I'm wrong. My friend, there are some natural things that should be set in order. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm not going to get into those things. I'm not going to get into all this. But I want you to know it goes hand in hand with what Paul was trying to accomplish with the Corinthian church. Yes, sir. He had to deal with a lot of natural things before he could ever get over into the spiritual. Yes, sir. Seventh chapter, dealing with a man touching a woman. I ain't going to get into it. I could. Seventh chapter and the 11th chapter. First Corinthians. Brethren, it do every married couple, my friend, to memorize both them chapters before they ever got married. That's my opinion. Well, preacher, they read all that. They might not get married. They might not need to. Huh? I'm not hard. And I'm not. I'm not a hard man to talk to. Some of you talk to me. It's not hard to talk to me. I'm not a hard man. But if I ever marry a couple, I will talk to them somewhere, somehow. Had a cousin, Ken. She just thought I'd bypass some things, I reckon. I don't know what she thought. But she come to see me, won't know that I'm married, and I said, I sure will. I said, where's that husband to be? I said, I need to talk to both of you together. Yeah. Well, she puffed up, blowed up, run out of the house angry. I didn't marry her. Listen, you say, preacher, you ought not be that away. I got news for you. My friend, there's some things in this word of God, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, my friend, you go here. Listen, I'm not hard to talk to. I'm not a dogmatic person. I'm not. But can I tell you something? If it's between these lids right here, and it has to do, my friend, with something that's going on in your life, then that's what you're going to get. Yes, sir. That's what you're going to get. I don't have to go into where for and what for. Matter of fact, I don't know why I'm telling you all this. I sat down with a lost couple. They was lost. They admitted they was lost. Preacher, you married them? I sure did. After I talked to them, they was both sitting side by side. And I was, and I plead guilty. I was a little tougher on them. But you know what? They give better answers, my friend, than a lot of the saved. So, huh? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You don't have to, preacher, don't get into all that. I'm not going to get into this seventh chapter. I'm really not. I'm going to try to stick with call. Abiding. He said, let every man abide in the calling wherein he is called. I've tried to give that to you just as simple as I know how. Preacher, I never will be a preacher. Who said? Where'd that come from? You don't know. Preacher, I'm too old. You don't get too old. I know two preachers personally. One of them still living. Announced his calling to preach is 62-year-old. Are you too old? I'm not putting you on the spot. I just want you to know, my friend, they ain't no discharge in this thing. No, they're not. Preacher, you're trying to say we got some old preachers around. I ain't saying nothing for nothing. I'm just telling you, my friend, what God can do. And sometimes he would not if he had a participant that was willing tonight. Like it or not, Kermit Huey, some of y'all may remember the name, you may not, may have never met him, doesn't really matter. Kermit Huey, he was a single man. They probably wasn't a better piano player around. He taught piano, he sung in a group. Lord called him to preach. He is 62-year-old. You know what he was to me? A good friend. A good friend. He'd call me up and we'd talk about scripture for hours on end. He'd done a lot of talking. I'd done a lot of listening. He needs somebody to talk to. Do you know that? He needs somebody, my friend, just to listen. People don't believe that sometimes. I'm going to tell you something. A good talker needs a good listener. Yes, sir. If you're going to talk, my friend, you sort of want folks to listen, don't you? Kermit told me one night, he said, Randy, he said, I feel so humbled and so sad that I did not give in to calling to be a preacher for 12 long years. 12 years. It bothered him. He spoke to me several times about it, and my answer to him every time, Kermit, Don't worry about what you couldn't do. Just do all you can between now and whenever the Lord takes you home. That's the way I look at it. Brethren, there ain't nothing I can do about some years, or you either. Those years passed in your life that you cannot fix. Do you know that? Quit trying to. Just live for Jesus. Now, brethren, as long as you can tonight, abide in that calling wherein you're called. Preacher, I ain't called to do nothing. There ain't no bench warmers. We don't have none. No, we don't. Well, preacher, we have pews full of bench. No, we don't. Brethren, everybody in the kingdom of God's got a purpose. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You may not think you're in the kingdom, but if you've been born again, you're a child of the King. Is that not right? God don't make no junk. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. You cannot keep yourself. Brethren, it takes the Spirit of God, brethren, to keep you today. Amen. Oh, preacher, I'm afraid I'll fall. I've got news for you. If you want to be afraid of falling, just go ahead and be afraid all the time. I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. I'm afraid I'm going to do something wrong. Well, just... if you live in that kind of life, my friend, there is no joy in it. Preacher, I can't preach like somebody else. I'm glad. I'm glad. I got a lot of good preachers I like to hear preach, and they don't preach alike. You know that? That ain't the reason I like them. You know why I like them, Gene? Brethren, there's something right down here, brethren, that connects. Brethren, and it flows like a river, thank God. Woo! And I get happy. I like it. I like it. You can't tell me, my friend, there might not be nobody in this house, but I'll guarantee you one thing, and I'll publicly say this. My friend Robert Chastain gets in one of them long sermons. I'll stay there with him just as long as that Spirit of God's with him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know why, Bruce? I like it. There's something there. Most of the time, brethren, I can tell you what he's going to say before he says it. And you can too. Do you know that? Abide in the calling wherein you are called. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Told you I was full of it anyway. Abiding in the calling. We're a little small group here tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. It does not matter. Preacher, you're preaching some of these things when there's more people here. Well, I got news for you. If the Lord would ever let me hold them things till everybody shows up, then I'll do that. But until he does, Robert, I'm just going to give the little crowd what I got. Listen, this crowd, this group of people that are here right now, my friend, makes a difference in Mountain View Baptist Church. Preacher, there ain't enough of us. You do the numbering. You do the numbering. I'm just going to preach what God gives me. Preacher, I'm glad I don't know some things. I know too much. I know more than I should in a lot of places and a lot of things. But I'd just soon not know. Bruce, I'd just soon not know. Preacher, why is that? I got one that talks to me. Yes, sir. And you know what, Gene? He's told me things that nobody else told me. My wife, I have a good wife. I really do. I have a good pastor's wife. I really do. She knows things. She sees things. She hears things. She never tells me. Thank God. You hear me? Thank God. I mean that. She never has. Dodie and them joined the church down there, and they awful, just awful. What went on? I mean, it's just unthinkable to me. She was talking to her mother one night, and she said, y'all never did go through any of them things. And I heard her mother speak up, honey, you didn't know what we went through. Did you hear that? You didn't know what we went through. We didn't publicize it. I can't help it. I'm not of this era. I don't flash everything. I don't put everything out there. It's not me. It's not me. You hear me? Thank God I can make it just like I am. I can. And I plan on doing so. Yes, sir. Preacher, you just ain't gonna change for the time, are you? My friend, I got a God that changes me. Did you know that? And He helps me. And believe you me, my friend, He knows more about you than I need to know. But if I need to know, He normally gives me a message. Do you know that? Have I lost my mind? I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a trick question. I think about some of the craziest things sometimes. In that book right there, what does it take to be a preacher? In that book right there, what does it take to be a preacher? Listen, it's not a trick question. I do. I get some of the craziest thoughts sometimes. Personally, individually, personally, what would you accept out of your preacher? What would you accept? Not a trick question. Think about it. I've heard this man right here talk a few times. And he'd get to talking, and he says he's one of them cussing deacons. Y'all have heard him. Right? Right. Would you accept a cussing deacon? I don't think so. It's not a trick question. It's not to put you on the spot. My question is, how in the world can he be a deacon with the foul mouth that he has? I don't even know who he's talking about, but I've been around him. You have too. You've been around preachers. So, what would you accept from your preacher? What would you accept? You think about that. There's some things, my friend, there's some men I never will go hear preach. You know why, Robert? I've heard too much of the other. And it's not a hearsay. They straddle that fence. They walk both sides. Hear me? I'm not going to give you no names. It's not what we're here for. Listen, I don't accept it. You hear me? I don't accept it. That don't fly with me. No, sir. Why does it not? I'll tell you exactly why. The man that I've talked a little bit about tonight, his name was Paul. And brethren, he done things before he became Paul, made havoc of the church. But brethren, I guarantee you, Paul and Saul were two different men. Paul never did go back to Saul. I don't believe he will. You hear me? Yes. I know quite a few. I actually work for some. Pitiful. Pathetic. Is it not? All in the world, and you don't. Preacher, what I've said tonight to this group, my friend, is probably the most I have ever said about those situations. And you ain't got a clue who I'm talking about. And you ain't going to. You ain't going to. No, sir. I had a man tell me, I'll give you a little scripture. Do you accept a little wine or no wine? It's not a trick question. It's not a trick question. It's in that scripture right there. I will say this. The times of their living, my friend, was a little bit different than what we live in. But can I tell you something? The Bible says that Christ tread the winepress alone. Alone. When they treaded the winepress, do you know what was in that press? The fruit of the vine. That's all in the world's in there. Study it. I ain't lost my mind. Not a bit. I'll go back to the question, what would you accept from your preacher? Only you can answer that, by the way. And I don't even want to know your answer. Not a bit. Anybody got anything you need to say or do or leave with us?